done everything else. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Amen. God is good, ain't he? Glory to God. Amen. I heard preacher preach years ago. He made a statement. I don't know if it was his message, but he said, if you can stand the pull, God will pull you through. You may not be able to get through some things that you have to deal with. Just get a grip. Hold on to God. He'll pull you through it. Amen. He will help you. Amen. I want to say we appreciate so much, amen, this opportunity. This is our last service preaching. We're going to be here with you tonight. But we're just honored beyond words for the invitation and the confidence that you have showed in us by asking us to be here. We're grateful. Thank you for the accommodations you're giving. And the hospitality has been wonderful. Amen. We appreciate it so much. To the Bible Holiness Church, amen, you're to be commended for your labor of love and all that you've done to make this meeting successful. Amen. We've tried to pray with you for the meeting. Amen. But the majority of the burden has been on your shoulders. And you have borne it well. And God has honored. Amen. And it's just been a delight to be here. Amen. I believe when this thing is all over, it can be said there was a job well done. Your pastor and his good wife and family, we appreciate them so much. They are our friends. Amen. And I don't say that lightly. Me and Brother Brent, I call him, amen, call him Brother Gabbard. He's worthy of the honor. But we have been friends for many years now. We don't talk every day. We don't even talk every week. Sometimes we may not talk for a week or so. It's not because we're not friends. When we get back together, we can pick right up where we left off. Amen. He's a busy man, I am. And I appreciate that kind of friendship, the kind you ain't got to pamper every day. Amen. Those are hard friendships, but I appreciate a real friend. Amen. And I tell you, church, amen, I appreciate you being good to my friend. We've seen Brother Brent and Sister Teresa, I don't remember, it was several months ago somewhere, and me and my wife both made the comment they were happy, and that made me happy, and I appreciate, amen, be good to them. You can't be too good to the man of God. Amen. You can't be too good to the man of God. Amen. Elijah told that widow, said, make me a cake first. And then for you, take care of him. God will use him and he'll take care of you. Amen. Brother Rawson, it's been a privilege to be with him. Preaching, tremendous preacher. Mike, there's not preaching. Been tremendous. Amen. I appreciate so much his ministry and hold him in great esteem and respect, and all the young preachers and everything, brother. I like preaching with Brother Jamie Norman this morning, because when this service is over, it's going to be said that Brother Jamie preached good this morning. No matter how I preach, Brother Jamie preached good this morning. And I appreciate so much his preaching. Sometime this week, now I want to be careful, somebody came up to me and they asked me a question, and it was obvious either they misspoke or they had never seen me or him, either one. They said, are you Brother Jamie Norman? And I said, well, I said, no, sir, I'm not. Amen. He is a great preacher, and I appreciate so much his ministry and friendship. We've got to know them. Amen. Brother Gabbert was mentioned a while ago about preachers jumping and running and preaching 20 minutes. Well, you probably figured it out by now. I don't do a lot of jumping. I don't do much running, and I very seldom get done in 20 minutes. Amen. Sometimes I'm just getting started in 20 minutes, but I don't want to hold you too long this morning. Amen. But it has been our privilege. We sure do appreciate, amen, everything you've done to make us feel at home. Psalms 85, I have a burden to be a help to you this morning. That's been my prayer this week, that we have said or done something to help you. Amen. I told the Lord years ago, I don't want to be a liability to your people. I don't want to be a liability to the name of Christ. I don't want to be a liability to the holiness people. I want to be an asset to them. I want to help them. And that has been our prayer. And I pray the Lord will help us this morning. Psalms 85, would you stand with us in reverence to the reading of God's word? Amen. A lot of things I'd like to have preached. Amen. When I got ready to come, I was praying, Lord, what am I going to preach? And the longer I stay somewhere, the more I want to preach. But this is where I felt like the Lord led us. So let's look into the Word of God. Psalms 85, verse number 1. Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Salah. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from the fierceness of Thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause Thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt Thou be angry with us forever? Wilt Thou draw out Thine anger to all generations? Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? Show us Thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us Thy salvation. Amen. May the Lord bless you this morning. You can be seated. I want to preach to us. I really have a title for this, but this is the burden of my heart. We sure need revival. I don't want to make light by any means of the tremendous services that we have had this week and the great things that God has been doing here at Bible Holiness Church, but if you're like we are, Remnant is known to occasionally have some good church. Amen. We are a shouting people, a running, a pew running. I mean, we believe in getting in and going to meeting. Amen. But I pastor those people. And outside of just our services, in homes and in lives, there is a desperate need in my church for real revival. Amen. And I feel like I would be safe in saying, although the Lord has graciously met with us and God has shown His approval on this meeting, there is still in our lives and in lives right here this morning a dire need for a genuine, deep digging revival of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's no question about the peril of the hour in which you and I are living. Amen. We are near to that place that Joel prophesied of in Joel 3 and 14 when he said multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And I've probably preached it different, and I've heard other preachers preach about trying to make decisions, but that's not what Joel was prophesying about. He was talking about a place of judgment. That valley of decision was the valley of Jehoshaphat. And it was a valley of judgment. It was a place where men were going to receive a reward according to their works. And you and I are nearing eternity. Amen. Amen. I know that when you're young, amen, it feels like you're going to live forever. Amen, but you're not. In fact, in just a few days, you'll look in the mirror and you'll see gray hair and you'll see age. One preacher, a great friend of mine, he said he looked in the mirror one day and he said, "Who are you, old man? Where'd you come from?" He said, "I didn't feel like that guy I was looking at." Amen. You and I, whether it is by the rapture of the church, and I am living in expectation of the rapture, but whether it's by the rapture of the grave, you and I are all nearing to eternity. And it is in eternity that we will face judgment. Amen. Not only are we as individuals nearing that time of judgment, but this world is on a course to judgment. Right now, God is aligning this world up. The vats of the wrath of God are filled to the bursting. And before long, God is going to judge this world because of its iniquity. When you look at our world, it identifies, and I mentioned this the other day, it identifies with the generation of Noah, who were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And the thoughts and the imaginations of their heart were only evil continually. In
In other words, their desires were never satisfied. They were constantly trying to figure out some other deviant, destructive device in which to indulge themselves in. He also said the world would be like a Sodom was. And you and I are witnessing the symptoms of a Sodom society. Brother Travis, the other night in youth service, preached tremendous. And while he was preaching, it came back to me, Ezekiel 16, verses 49 and 50. Amen. God begins to list the sins of thy sister, Sodom. We all mark Sodom by the homosexual ending of Sodom. But that's only where that sin ended up. That's not where it began. Amen. Sin is a massive spiral. It starts out in a very broad, a circling area. Amen. But it always spirals down. Amen. That's why we must be weary of little sins. Because little sins leads you to the same depravity. Amen. As big sins, if that's where you want to categorize them. But he said the symptoms of Sodom were pride. Amen. Fullness of bread. In other words, they didn't really have need of anything. Amen. The symptom of Sodom was idleness. They were unconcerned about others. They were haughty. And then they committed abomination. Amen. That's the world. But what about the church world that we're in? Amen. Brother Norman already this morning mentioned, amen, some of the mega churches and the popular movements of our generation. But even the holiness church, even the people who we number ourselves among, amen, we find ourselves in the book of Revelation. And I feel like there's characteristics of maybe all those churches, but the one that grieves me the most is those characteristics of that Laodicean church that I see in my home church, that I see in churches that are across the land as I travel. Amen. It is that spirit that says we are rich. My, look how far we've come. Amen. We used to be on the back street, now we're on Main Street. Hey, amen. We used to just all be hicks and hillbillies or Appalachian Americans. Amen. Amen. Now we're part of the mainstream of society. We fit in with all the fads and the fashions of the world. We are rich and increased with goods, and in too many meetings, here's the spirit of people that even look like homeless people. We feel like we have need of nothing. I've been thrilled to watch these altars fill up, amen, every service, but that don't happen everywhere. I've seen men of God get up and preach the Bible. Amen. The Spirit of God sanctioned it with conviction. Amen. And it was just church people. It wasn't no lost people. Amen. But it was a message to the church. God trying to draw them closer. But when that preacher gave the altar, nobody stepped out. Nobody moved. Few people found a place maybe in their pew to pray. Amen. We think, oh, that's great preaching. Amen. I just don't need what the preacher's preaching. Amen. And he said, knowest not that thou art wretched. Thou art miserable and poor and blind and naked. Sometimes we just need to be honest. Brother John said it last night. We were talking. He said, there's some things we've let die. There's some things we have lost in the wholeness church. Come on here. I'm not going to preach negative. I'm going to preach on revival for Lord help me. Amen. But we just need to be honest about where we are. Amen. I've got a good church. I've got a good bunch of people. They live good. Amen. I'm not afraid for anybody. I don't care. Amen. How they preach to come in and preach to my people. Amen. I don't feel like they're going to hurt us. Amen. We've got a good standard. Come on now. Amen. But I know our people. Amen. There's some things that we're missing. Amen. When we were in that organization running toward holiness and pulling out, amen, it wasn't just a standard we were after. We were after the heart of God. Amen. We wanted to be right where God was. We weren't content with just coming to church and showing up and marking the attendance record that I was there. Amen. But we wanted to see God move and work. Amen. We weren't content to have lost people set among us without feeling conviction. We weren't content to have sick people sitting among us, amen, without seeing God heal. Amen. We wanted a move of God. Amen. But oftentimes we have become satisfied with the status quo. Amen. We're living a good life, preacher. Amen. But we have become relaxed. Amen. With reasonable service. I understand. Amen. We're called to live a reasonable life. Amen. But that's not the ending. Amen. Of our calling. That's not the fulfillment of the plan of God for our lives. The plea of our text is for revival. Now it looks like if I understand this right, maybe I'll study some more, but they have returned from captivity. They have been brought back home to their homeland. They're not in Babylon. They're not in the world. They're separated as far as in their location. They're back in the homeland. The temple's rebuilt. Amen. But as they walk through the streets of Jerusalem, as they go to the temple, they realize things are not exactly like they should be. Oh, thank God we have been forgiven of our iniquities and our sins have been covered. Amen. God has taken away His wrath. We don't live under the fear of His judgment. Amen. But we still are desperate and dying for real revival. The only cure for complacency and that spirit of satisfaction that is among us is a revival. The only hope is for a quickening, restoring life power of God. Amen. You can build a fire, a blazing fire, but when that blazing fire burns down until there's nothing but ashes and just a little wisp of smoke rising off the top, amen, the warmth of that fire is gone. And it's not enough that we can stir up the dust, amen, enough to make a little racket, amen, make a scene. Amen, we have lost the warmth of the fire. Come on here. Revelation 3, hope y'all pray for me. I'm going to try to hurry and preach here. Revelation 3, that church at Sardis, amen, it was said of them, amen, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Amen. There's things that we have lost and we may never regain them. Amen. But there's some things that are struggling among us and we must with every effort possible, amen, pray and fast and seek God that we may hold on to those things which are ready to die. I'm not willing to let revival die. Are you? I'm not willing to become stiff and starchy and satisfied in the house of God. Amen. I want my children. I told our church, I've told it a lot of places. I've got a little red-headed grandbaby at home. I know I don't look old enough to be a grandpa, but I am. Hallelujah. Amen. I've got a little red-headed, blue-eyed grandbaby. Amen. She got a hold of Papa. Amen. But I want her to be raised, amen, in the middle of a move of God. I don't want her just to go to Sunday school and learn about Noah's Ark. Amen. Come on here. Amen. Learn about the basic Bible stories. I want her to see in the sanctuary, amen, the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Amen. When somebody gets to shouting, amen, I don't want it to scare her. Amen. I want her to act like her. Amen. To learn how to shout like them. Amen. Watching them while she's little. Amen. I want her to be raised. Amen. Where we still lay hands on the sick. And the power of God moves. And they walk out healed. I want her to be raised in a generation. Amen. That sees a life-changing experience. That breaks the chains of sin. And makes men and women new creatures in Christ Jesus. And I realize just going to church ain't gonna get it done. Just being good people ain't going to get it done. We're going to have, amen, remnant. Y'all pray for my church. They're having church right now. Amen. I want God to move at remnant this morning. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what remnant's got to have. We've got to have a revival. We've got to have more than a week scheduled meetings. Amen. Of great men preaching great messages. We've got to have a revival. Amen. Something that gets in moms and dads' hearts. Amen. That changes their home. Amen. And makes it a sanctuary. Hey, come on here. Hey, oh God, we've got to have revival. There are things that are dying. Things that are dying among us. We've got a generation that's never seen miracles. Never seen them. Amen. Amen. I remember several years ago we had a brother in our church. I got to hurry. Y'all pray for me. We had a brother in our church. He had a stroke. And it paralyzed the left side of his body. He was a big man, probably. He's taller than I am, but a big man my size. And he was in pitiful shape. He couldn't lift his arm up. He couldn't move his left leg. He was strong enough. He could drag it with his right, but he was pitiful. 5 months, we prayed for him every service. We fasted. We begged God to move. Then on a Sunday night, February the 6th, I'll never forget it. 2000. We were having church. I preached. We had a good service. The Lord moved. A sinner lady came and prayed in the altar. And while we were worshiping and rejoicing over that lady praying, we had done prayed for him in that service. We prayed for him every service. Amen. But while we were thanking God for conviction and touching a heart, amen, that brother got up off the altar and he started trying to walk without his walker. And the Spirit of God filled that house. And by the time he got to the center of the sanctuary, amen, that arm went up and that leg went up and he was instantly healed by the power of God. Amen. Pandemonium broke out for several hours. Amen. But here's what I want to say. There was a lady there. She was older than I was. She was probably in her upper 30s. Amen. She ran home. We didn't have cell phones hardly then. She ran home and called her family. She said, I just seen a miracle. She'd been raised in the church all of her life. Amen. Her mom said to her, well, you've seen miracles. She said, no. She said, I'm talking about I saw with mine own eyes. Amen. God perform a miracle. Amen. But we're living in a generation. Amen. Where folks have not seen miracles. We've seen the Lord touch things that we really can't verify. And I'm not making light of that. Amen. But we need, amen, the power of God manifested. And we can't afford to let it die. Amen. Amen. I rejoice. My heart was so glad the other night. Amen. I think it was maybe Thursday. I don't remember exactly what night. Maybe Friday night, but it got high in here. Amen. It broke out. Folks got to shouting. I said, oh God, we can't ever let this die. We can't ever let this die. We've got to have this. Amen. Jesus is interested in things that are going out. In Matthew 12 and 20. Amen. He said a bruised reed. It was prophesied of Jesus. A bruised reed shall he not break. And a smoking flax he will not quench. Amen. He's not wanting to snuff out the fire. Amen. But he's wanting to fan the fire. Amen. We need to bring the fire back to life. Amen. With the psalmist we must pray. We'll thou not revive us again, O Lord. Isaiah 63, amen, Israel's headed for judgment. God's going to judge them. It didn't change it. Amen. But the prophet is praying for some spiritual renewal. And he asked the Lord in verse 5 of Isaiah 63. He said, look down. He said, would you look down from heaven? Amen. Would you look at where we're at? Amen. Would you see what we're into, Lord? Amen. See what's going on. Amen. Lord, take note of the situation we're in. Amen. But by the time he got done with 63, amen, it got a lot more desperate. Lord, I just don't want you to see the shape we're in. Amen. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. That thou wouldest come down. Amen. We need more than a viewing. We need a visitation. Amen. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. A couple years ago at our camp meeting, and my points are going to sound familiar to, amen, at least one individual. Amen. Brother John Gabber's preaching night services in our meeting.
2013. It wasn't his text. He just got up and said it as he was starting this to preach. He said, I feel like if we will get hungry enough and holy enough and humble enough, God will send us revival. Now I realize, and I know what he was saying. Revival cannot be worked down, worked up. It can't be earned. It can't be merited. We'll never deserve a move of God. If we have revival, it's going to be a sovereign act of God. It's going to be a choice that God makes in the last days to do among his people. It cannot be produced and it cannot be manufactured. It must come from God. Amen. We can't plan revival, schedule revival. Amen. It's like the wind. It's in God's control. Amen. But there are some things we can do. Amen. About revival. Although we cannot produce the move of God. Amen. There are some things that provoke the move of God. There are some things that invite the move of God. Amen. I want to preach them to you real quick here. Amen. The first thing we must do is we must get hungry for a move of God. I said we must get hungry for a move of God. Amen. I hope you wouldn't be offended. I wouldn't ask you to tell anybody. Amen. But how long's it been since you shouted? Hey, how long's it been? I know people think shouting, that's always the people never shout. Huh? Amen. Come on here. Amen. But how long's it been? All we watch, I heard people say, amen, I get blessed watching other people get blessed. I about said that word my wife told me not to use, hogwash. Huh. I don't hardly believe that. You don't get full watching other people eat. Huh? Amen. Don't give me that. I get blessed watching other people get blessed. Amen. There's nothing like getting it for yourself. How long's it been since the Holy Ghost fell on you? Hey, how long's it been since you talked in tongues? Amen. I believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the initial evidence, is speaking in other tongues. Amen. But I don't believe it's just for the first time you get it. Amen. I believe you ought to pray through to the Holy Ghost until he talks to God for you. Amen. I heard people say, boy, I used to shout. What happened to you? Boy, I used to run. Amen. We got a lady in our church, Sister Carter. Amen. The other night we got to heaven church. She's a terrible diabetic, had a lot of health trouble just a year or so ago, had open heart surgery, 4 bypasses. She's blind in one eye, lost her boy. She's had a lot of trouble, about 70 something years old. I can't remember, 73. The other night though, we got to heaven church and the Spirit of God fell and all of a sudden Sister Carter started running. Amen. Now our girls run at our church. Amen. She couldn't keep up with some of them. Amen. But she took her a lap or two around the church. Come on here. Amen. She may not have the strength she used to have, but she still got the spirit she used to have. Come on here. Amen. We need revival. Amen. Would to God you'd get hungry. Amen. For the Holy Ghost again. I said, would to God you'd get hungry. Amen. For the power of God to fall in your life. Hey. Hey. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Amen. Occasionally, we went to go get something to eat. Y'all probably don't do this. We'll get in the car. We'll get headed toward town. And we'll say, where you gonna go? Where you gonna go? Well, it don't matter to me where you wanna go. I decided last time. I'm not gonna decide this time. You decide where we wanna go. Well, I think I hit a familiar spirit there. Huh? And we go back and forth, and it has happened. Amen. I didn't get a bad spirit about it, but I realized it's obvious we really weren't hungry. And I turned around and went back to the house. Because when you get hungry, when you really get hungry, you know what you want. When you really get hungry, you know what you want. Come on here.
Amen. God help us. Amen. I remember as a boy coming up and getting prayer. Amen. It was the night I got sanctified. Second definite work of grace. Hallelujah. Amen. The night I got sanctified, I went to the altar. Amen. The preacher said, son, what do you want? Amen. I wanted the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I'd been preached to, you can't bypass a sanctified experience. Amen. You got to get saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on here. Amen. Not just saved and Holy Ghost filled. Amen. I told him I want to be sanctified. Amen. I knew what I wanted. Amen. I didn't understand the doctrine of sanctification. Amen. But a little 11-year-old boy, amen, walked out with a changed heart that night because I knew what I wanted. Amen. I wonder today, amen, are you hungry for a move of God in your life? You're hungry enough, you know what you want. Psalms 42, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say, where is my God? We're so full of life. So full of all the things of life that we don't have an appetite. Amen. How many of you mamas have told your children, no, don't eat that candy. Don't eat that sweet. It'll ruin your appetite. It'll ruin your supper. Huh. Amen. But we've eaten so many of the delicacies of the world until we're satisfied without a move of God. We're content not to have a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. If we don't have a good service, our people at our church, just about every service, they think you got to go out to eat when church is over. And just about every service, they're ready. And I watch sometimes, amen, there's folks that get content, amen, knowing we're going to have fellowship after church. Amen. If we don't have a good service, no big deal. Amen. We'll come back and give it another try. Amen. The next service. But we'll be going out for fellowship. Amen. We're so of other things. We've lost our appetite for the things of God. Amen. Oh, help me, Lord. I need to preach to you. Psalm 63. Oh, God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is to see. Here's what he wants. To see thy power and thy glory so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Amen. I don't want to take you too far down memory lane. Amen. But can you remember, amen, a service that sticks out to you as a powerful move of God? Amen. You know what? You need to get hungry. Oh, God, I want to see it again. I want to experience that again. Amen. Have you ever got so lost? Amen. They had to carry you out of the church. Amen. God, I want to see it like I've seen it before in your sanctuary. I hunger for a move of the Holy Ghost. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, Isaiah 55. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy, eat, yea, come and buy wine and milk without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Amen. Matthew 7:8, Jesus said, and everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Amen. We just need to get to looking. Huh? We need to get to seeking. We need to get to knocking. We need to get hungry for a move of God. Secondly, as I try to hurry on here, we need to get holy enough. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time trying to validate every statement I make. Amen. I hope you'll give me a little wholeness liberty here. Amen. But I know we can't ever be holy in ourselves. All right. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. I understand that. Amen. But because of the redeeming work of Christ. Amen. Not only should there be such an experience that changes you, but there should be a desire to live a life that pleases God. You know, we live in a society, help me, Lord, that caters to me. Everything's about self. Everything's about I. Come on here.
Amen. I'm not preaching again iPhones and iPads, Brother Britt made a mention of one. I'm not preaching again that. Amen. But just think of the name. That rings to this generation. Me. That's what matters. Huh? But when you get saved, you die. And he becomes what matters. And all of a sudden, we don't live holiness just so we can be benefited. Although there are benefits to living holy. But our life is to honor and to please him. We don't just come to church so we can get a blessing and so we can get help and so we can have a place for our family to go. But church is not a resort. Huh? Amen. Church is a place for service. We are in service this morning. Amen. It's about serving God and serving other people. Amen. I don't want to just get a blessing. I want to be a blessing to somebody. Hey. Amen. I don't want to just feel God's glory. I want to give God some glory. Amen. There needs to be a renewal of our consecration to God. Amen. For true holiness is still separation from the world. Can you say amen? I said true holiness is still separation from the world. Sometimes to go back to receive that old experience, amen, we had to change some things. In Genesis chapter 35, when Jacob was called to go back to Bethel, amen, Jacob said, if I'm going to get back to Bethel, that's the house of God. That's the gateway to heaven. If I'm going to get to Bethel, there's some things I'm going to have to take care of right here at Shechem. Huh? Shechem's that in-between place. It wasn't really in the place of the world, but it was close enough, amen, that it was easy access for his children. It was that borderline living. Come on here. You know that fine line between right. Come on here. Amen. It used to be it was just black and white, but now there's a great big gray area in the middle of controversial things. God, help me. Ah, help me, Lord. Amen. Now there's so much. Amen. But if we're going to get back to Bethel, amen, we're going to have to not just get out of the black zone. Amen. But we're going to have to get hungry enough for God. We're willing to forsake the gray zone. Amen. So many people live their lives afraid they're going to be deprived of something that they could do. Amen. That they're willing to take a chance of doing something they shouldn't do. It's obvious your heart's not in the right place. Hey, come on here. Amen. I'd rather give up a thousand things that I didn't have to. Amen. Than face God with one thing. Amen. That was forbidden. Amen. Jesus looked at that rich young ruler. Amen. Who had lived the law. Who lived the line. Who lived the list, if you will. He was living what the preacher was preaching. Amen. But he looked into his life. And he said, thou lackest one thing. And that one thing was enough to forfeit his experience with God. Hear me today. Amen. If we're going to get back to Bethel, we've got to go through Shechem. You know what happened at Shechem? Amen. The Bible said that Jacob said to his family, amen, let me get over here. Jacob said to his house, verse 2, and all that were with him, put away the strange gods. I think we done heard some of this preaching this morning. That are among you, and be clean and change your garments. Now real holiness still affects everything about you. It changes your worship. It changes your lifestyle, cleanliness, and it changes your appearance. It changes your garments. Come on here. Amen. And he let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way that I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands. Now I don't have time to spend arguing about how they got among us. Amen. Where they come from and who said they was all right. All I know is we need to get back to Bethel. Amen. We don't have time to have a theological debate of how much is too much and how little is too little. Amen. We need to get back to Bethel. Amen. There's some strange things that have come among us. Amen. We need to hand them over. Amen. Bury them under that oak. Boy,
These oak altars. These oak altars up here would be a nice tree for you to bury some stuff under on your way to revival. Hey, amen. Sister Peach talked about watching people, hey, amen, come to the altar and leaving a pile of stuff. Come on here. Hey, 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 amen. When you get ready to go back to Bethel, hey, amen, there'll be a shucking off of some things. Hey, amen. There'll be a coming clean. Come on here. Hey, amen. You'll take off those strange gods. They're described to us. The earrings that are in their ears. Hey, amen. The things that were on their hands. And he hid them under that oak. 1 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. I've been praying, Lord, would take it away from me. He didn't give it to you. Huh? He didn't put it on you. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filth. I'm waiting till I get convicted. If you'll read your Bible, you'll get convicted. Hello. Amen. Holiness is cleanliness. It is carefulness. When I was a boy, I remember them old timers praying. And y'all pray for me that I'll live careful. Pray for me that I'll live careful. We'd sing that little song, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Because your eyes will fix your heart. Hello. And there was a time among homeless people that we were careful about what we watched. In fact, we didn't talk much about what we watched because we didn't watch nothing. Hey, amen. Now, I was at a meeting somewhere in these United States where the preacher preached on the rating system of movies. Preachers used to just preach on movies. Didn't matter what they was rated. Oh, be careful, Elijah. Y'all don't get quiet on me here. What you see? Amen. Because if you sit there and watch it, amen, our preacher's got a switch. I can cut it off, but you can't cut off your mind. And once that picture's implanted in your mind, amen, you're going to have to pray over it and beg God to help you. And you'll fight things warring in your mind. Be careful, little ears. What you hear? Shame. It's a shame how many worldly songs are sung by homeless people. Amen. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. I'm going to put these two together. I got to hurry. Y'all praying for me? Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen. I pastor people and I love them. And I'm not down on them. Amen. But I come through. I heard some of our kids singing a song. Heard one of my girls singing it. I said, what kind of song's that? Oh, it's a song off such and such movie. So, well, I said, you ain't never seen that. Where'd you pick that up? So-and-so's iPod. They listen to it. We need to be careful what we hear. We're in a dangerous hour. Do you know faith comes by hearing? In other words, your ears have a direct connection to your soul, to your spirit. And when you begin to let, you know that a lot of times suicide is accompanied with some kind of music. Either an old sad barroom song or some kind of crazy heavy metal death beat. But suicide, because it gets spiritual. We need a sanctifying to take place among our holiness people. That we clean some stuff out. Hey, listen, if it ain't fit for the house of God, it ain't fit for your house either. If it couldn't be played or sung in a sanctuary, hey man, it ought not be in your sanctuary either. Come out here. Hey man, we gotta get to Bethel. Oh, I need to hurry. Hey man, oh, be careful. Little hand. God help me. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Hey, man, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. We need to get our desires, like the preacher preached to us, sanctified. Glory. Amen. Holiness is not just what we give up. Holiness is what we are given to. And I preach to my people because I've watched it. Amen. I've watched them get rid of stuff, get changed things, move stuff out. Amen. But never give themselves to the right things. You know, that was the danger that Jesus told about when that unclean spirit is gone out of a man. That house is swept. Garnish, it's clean. You can't put your finger on anything in that life, but it's empty. It's empty. And that spirit comes back with seven more wicked than the first. Huh? And there's no more wicked spirit than backslid holiness. Nobody fights holiness like people that used to live it. That happens when you have an empty relationship. I got to hurry. We've got to not only give up some things, but we've got to give ourselves to some things. Give ourselves to the work of God, to the will of God. Lastly, and I'm closing. Amen. We've got to get humble. We've got to quit relying. We don't like to call it pride, but really, we're prideful because we rely so much on what we can do. On the mechanics of having church, of how we do it. And I like it done right. I think we ought to do it the best it can be done. We ought to be skilled in what we do. But if we're not careful, we rest all of our confidence in what we can do. If we sing a certain song, well, it always breaks out. Not always. Not always. If we preach a certain message, if we book a certain preacher, not always. Amen. We may get a show, but we lack the spirit. We need a move of God. And I can't produce it. I can't have it. One of the hardest things I've had to do is pastor. I'm preaching too long. Amen. I've had people, I just sat last week before I left. And man, I got some stuff I need God to move in at home for some people. But I sat, person sat across my desk. My wife was in there. Broken, terrible situation, needs some things to change. And I felt so helpless. I told her, I said, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to have the words, but I don't got them. I'm supposed to be able to tell you what to do, to give you some kind of spiritual insight. I wish I did. I said, I'm not going to sit over here and tell you what I think, because that don't mean nothing. If I can't tell you what God said, I'm not going to say it. I said, if God don't help us, what are we going to do? We need to get humble. In Joel chapter 1 verse 14, the Bible said, sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land unto the house of the Lord your God. And cry unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord. Isaiah 57 verse 15. Amen. The Bible said, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. But here's the congregation that gathers there with him that also is of a contrite and a humble spirit. When people realize, if God don't help us, we're in trouble. We're doing our best, but that won't get it done. If God don't send us revival, we're in trouble. And God said, I dwell in the middle of them people. And here's what he does. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite. Amen. The qualification for revival, the invitation God is waiting on, amen, for him to come down, is for us to get broken, contrite, and for us to get humble in his sight. First Peter 5:6, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, and he that he may exalt thee in due time. I'm closing. Amen. Somebody be getting us a song here. 1 Kings chapter 18. Elisha is going to Carmel. And everybody knows the story. Amen. He's going up to showdown between him and the prophets of Baal. And Elijah gathers them together and they begin to lay out the rules. And they sacrifice half a day and nothing happens. We got too many churches where nothing's happening. Preacher preached us years ago. I'll never forget. He talked about them fishing all night, not catching anything. And he said, God, don't let this be another night of nothing. We've had too many services where there was nothing accomplished. We were entertained. We were sociable. But there was no lasting effects. We've had some shout downs. Maybe not around here, but in places I've been. Pandemonium. But there was no lasting results out of it. It was a great shaking. But there was nothing changed. Here Elijah stood. The Bible said the first thing he did was he built the altar. He built the altar. I can't ever read this without stopping and saying this. A preacher told me one time. Told our church, he said, you need to remember it's easier to rebuild an altar than it is to rebuild a life. If you're not praying, you're headed for trouble. I know praying's a job, praying's a labor, but you'll find it a whole lot easier to rebuild your altar than it is to rebuild your life, because sin will break you if you don't pray. He rebuilt the altar. Then the next thing he did, the Bible said he made a trench around about it. He said, if God's going to meet with us, God only does that in a separated atmosphere. There has to be a note of sanctification, separation. Dig that trench. Verses 33 and 35, he said, go get water. Go get barrels of water. Now, they've been in a drought for 3.5 years. People's lives depend. He's not praying. He's not fixing to pray for water. He's fixing to pray for fire. They don't need fire. They're in a drought. They don't think they do. If we got a fire started, we're in trouble. But he said, I want you to go get what you think you need the most. And I want you to lay it on this altar. I want you to go get what you think you can't live without. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. I want you to lay it on the altar. What cost you the most? I want you to lay it on the altar. And when they poured that water until the altar was saturated and the trench was filled, the man of God stood back. And he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Elijah realized, I can't make fire fall. I can't produce it. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God. And that thou hast turned their heart back again. God, we need revival that nobody can mistake. God sent it. God did it. The Bible said, then the fire fell and consumed. Some, a lot of things happened after the fire fell. But as it turned out, before long, there was going to be the sound of an abundance of rain. Amen. God was going to take care of the people. Amen. But their priority was we need revival, number one. Would you stand with me all over this house? The most urgent plea that I might leave with you. America needs revival. We're in trouble. I know people putting a lot of stock and expectation in the next elections. But that's not going to produce revival. Revival never has started in the White House, and it ain't going to now.
It's going to have to start in the church house. But more important, it's going to have to start in my house. We got to have revival for our churches. We got churches in trouble. I'm so happy for how God's helping y'all. But there's some churches that are in trouble right now. If some things don't happen, there's going to be some churches go the wrong way. Some bad things happen. We got to have revival. We got families that are in trouble. I got families in my church, good people. Their marriage is in trouble. Not because they don't look like homeless people, but because they need revival. We need revival. We need to get hungry enough and holy enough and humble enough that God send it. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bring this congregation to your throne. I have done my best, Lord, to deliver the burden of my heart. Lord, I stand here with empty hands, knowing that all of my effort and all of my abilities are futile, Lord. For this revival I preached about, I can't produce it. I can't manufacture it, and if I did, it wouldn't be worth having. What we've got to have is a visitation of heaven. Lord, not just where you meet us in our sanctuary, but God, that when you meet us in our prayer closets, when you meet with us on the job, when you meet with us gathered together around the table as a family. Lord, we need a visitation of heaven, that the presence of God abides with us, that you walk with us, and we walk hand in hand with you. Would you make us hungry? Would you make us hungry? Would you make us holy? Would you help us to humble ourselves for revival? Is there any takers this morning? Is there any takers this morning? You say, I need revival, preacher. I need revival. Are you hungry? Why don't we step out right now? Come on here. Is that what you're waiting on? Come on here. We need revival. We've got to have
revival is when we take the time to pray. Revival is when willing to obey. Oh, revival is when we purify our minds and we tear down all the idols in our lives. Oh, Father, can't you hear our desperate cry? There is a longing only you can satisfy. Revival, revival. Oh, revival comes from you. Revival is when we take the time to pray. Revival is when we're willing to obey. Oh, revival is when we purify our minds and we tell.